to be able to preach, and we'll get straight to it since the songs have been sang and the prayers have been prayed. The book of 1 John. Book of 1 John. We're going to work through this whole chapter, but I feel like I'll be done before 9:50. We're just going to briefly look at some things. Book of 1 John. Before we get started, I want to give you this quote. The gospel alone liberates you to live a life of scandalous generosity, unrestrained sacrifice, uncommon valor, and unbounded courage. The gospel frees you to live a life in service to others. And therefore, when these things take place and faith is activated in your life and you begin to be obedient, the gospel becomes effective not only in your life, but in the lives of others. And the gospel begins to move people and drive people and change people and work in people. And we are thankful for that. But this morning, for just a few minutes, we want to look at this effective gospel. We want to look at the effect that it makes. So in 1 John, the first question that we have this morning is, what makes the gospel so effective? If it is an effective gospel, then what makes it effective? I think we find that answer in the first four verses of 1 John. It says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested and we have seen it, bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father, with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. The thing that makes the gospel so effective is the reality of the life of Christ. The fact that he really existed. The fact that he really did everything the Bible says that he did. He accomplished everything the Bible says that he accomplished. The things that were said in the Old Testament about Christ came true in the New Testament. The things that Christ said of himself that he was going to do, he was going to accomplish. I'm gonna go and I'm gonna die for the sins of the world. I'm gonna rise after 3 days. All of these things happened. The thing that makes the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, so effective in each of our lives is that Christ lived this supernatural life, is that Christ accomplished a supernatural death. There was a supernatural resurrection. There was a supernatural ability walking around for 40 days afterwards, and then there was a supernatural ascension back into heaven, and now he supernaturally sits at the right hand of the Father and makes intercession for us. And that's what makes the gospel effective. The reality of Jesus Christ. We sang it at the beginning. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. Our faith is built on Jesus Christ. Our hope is built on Jesus Christ. Our future is built on Jesus Christ. And because these things are built upon him, because our faith is built upon a rock and not on sand, the gospel that we live and that we present to the world has an effect. And this morning, there are four things in the rest of 1 John chapter 1 that we find about this gospel in its effect. Verses 5 through 7. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. The first thing that we find about this effective gospel is that it is an illuminating gospel. Before salvation, and even though we didn't realize it, we walked around in spiritual darkness. We did not know our way. we did not know the answer. We could not find our way. And even if someone would have told us about the way until the gospel began to take root in our life, until the Holy Spirit was brought to us, until God chose to adopt us into His family, we were in darkness. We were, by nature, children of wrath. We were of our father, the devil. But something happened. Something changed. God began to draw us. And as God began to draw us, the reality of the life of Christ began to become real to us. The Holy Spirit was sent to us, implanted in us, and it flipped the light switch. It illuminated everything. There were things about our life that we never noticed. There were patterns that we never noticed. There were attitudes and personality conflicts. There were things in us that we never knew about ourselves that we could not see. Hey, you're a sarcastic jerk. I don't see it. Hey, you go to places you shouldn't go. I don't see it. Hey, you do things you shouldn't do. I don't see it. You know why? Because you're in darkness. But when the gospel becomes effective in your life, it turns the light switch on and you begin to see, I am a sarcastic jerk. You begin to see, I shouldn't go there. You begin to see, I shouldn't say that. I shouldn't look at that. That does not bring glory and honor to Christ. But before the gospel illuminated our life that we find here in 1 John 1, chapter 1, verses 5 through 7, we were in darkness. The second thing we see in verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. It's not only an illuminating gospel, it's a truthful gospel. There are some things in my life that I did not want to believe about myself. There are some character flaws within me that I really did not, and still to some extent, do not want to believe is there. There are some ways that I respond to people that, you know what? I just sometimes, if I'm responding in the flesh, I just feel good about it. You know, I feel okay with it. There are some things that when I operate in the flesh, I don't want to see. But when the light of the Word of God, based on the gospel of Jesus Christ, is set before my eyes, it reveals some things about Shad. It reveals some things that I didn't want to believe. It reveals some qualities that I didn't want to admit. But it also, as Brother Rick talked about, reveals some truths that the world chooses to live in lies about. We see the world says, I can give you this, I can give you that, I can offer you all these things. And when we become engrossed and captivated by the gospel of Jesus Christ and it illuminates our life, it turns the switch on, there's some things we see that were lies. There's some things we see that the world can't offer, that only Christ can offer. And this is not a message strictly to those who have just been saved or those who are not saved. We all battle this. We battle the fact of darkness. We are in our flesh. We are children of God. Thank the Lord. We live in flesh. Our flesh craves darkness. Paul talks about this great wrestling match in Romans chapter 7, that there are things that I want to do that I don't do. There are things that I don't want to do that I do. And who in the world shall deliver me from this body of death? Well, we know the answer is Christ. And we see Paul even in this great struggle in Romans chapter 7. He looks so downcast and so beat up. But at the end of it, he explodes into praise because he realizes it's not about him. It's about this gospel that's effective. And so it is an illuminating gospel. It is a truthful gospel. In verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It is a life-altering gospel. It changes everything. Nothing is the same. You can't walk in darkness the same way. You can't walk in lies the same way. You can't live the same way that you lived pre-salvation and enjoy it and relish in it. Are there things that we do before salvation that are not morally wrong? Yeah, absolutely. Can we still do those things? Do we do those things for the same reason? We do in some cases. But when we're saved and our life is changed, our life is moved, our life is shaken by the earthquake that is Jesus Christ, it alters everything. This morning, there was a tornado in Hattiesburg. One of my ball players that played for me in high school that plays at William Carey now, he sent me a video. And in that video, there's a car that is flipped over on top of another car. You know what happened? There was something cataclysmic that came through. And guess what it did? It changed everything. It moved an immovable object. What is that? That is a force of God that came through and changed everything. And if a tornado can come through and change circumstances like that, there are people's lives this morning that went to bed last night and it was fine. It was good. And this morning, they're planning to bury their wife. They're planning to bury their husband. They're planning to bury a child. They're wondering where they're going to live. And their lives have been altered. Several months ago, there was a train crash into the terminal in New Jersey. I don't know if you remember that, but it couldn't stop, and it crashed into the terminal, and it killed numerous people. When something that forceful comes in contact with a person's life, something like that tornado, it changes everything. So when the God of heaven collides with man's life, it has to make a difference. It has to change things. You have to view things differently. You have to do things differently. You have to say things differently. And if you say that you've come in contact with a force as great as the gospel and it's changed nothing, then it is not the gospel of the Bible. It is not. The gospel of the Bible alters your life. It changes everything. Last thing this morning, verse 10. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. The gospel is a God-exalting gospel. It illuminates, and I'm thankful for that. And it reveals truth, and I'm thankful for that. And it alters my life, and I'm thankful for that. But there's something about the gospel that takes everything about who we are, this earning and effort thing. And if we could earn all this, we could bring ourselves glory. But we can't. We can't earn any of this. It's not about me. It's that pile that Brother Rick talked about, that my life is a mangled, disgusting mess. If God gave me salvation and then walked away and said, do with it what you will, I would jack it up. I would ruin it. I would make a mockery of it. I would bring shipwreck to it. But there is a God in heaven who is active in my life. And he's not active to the point of salvation and then goes. He's completely and totally engaged in every area of my life. Why? Because of this, and I'll be done. In the garden, God created everything. It was perfect. Man and woman were without sin. They fellowshipped with God. He would come down, and I don't know how this happens, don't know what this looks like, but he would walk with them. And I don't even know how to really explain this. His presence was not there. And I don't know what that looks like. We know that he would come down and walk with them in the cool of the day. But somehow his presence was not They didn't notice it. All right, I'll say it like that. They just didn't notice that it was there. The serpent was allowed to tempt Eve, to tempt Adam, and Adam and Eve messed it up. They were spiritually alive. There were no scales. That their eyes were opened. And for one moment in time, when God was doing something, when God was allowing them to see what would happen if he wasn't actively speaking into their life, you know what they did? They cast humanity into sin. Without him, we can't do anything. Without him, we'd surely fail. Without him, we would be drifting like a ship without a sail. Jesus, 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 how precious is Jesus. Our gospel is effective, and it's only effective because our gospel that we live and we preach is not about us. It's about Christ. And it exalts God. It exalts his plan. It exalts his motives. And it exalts the finality of this life and the extension of eternity. The gospel carries us not only through this life, but it carries us into the next. The gospel is not just the tool that was used in our salvation and then God said, all right, see you later. The gospel is what keeps me saved. The gospel is what drives me toward God. The gospel is what provokes my heart to share him with others. The gospel will be what I die gracefully with, and the gospel will be what I bow before his throne one day. It'll be the tool used in my worship of him in heaven because of Jesus, because of his story, because of his reality, because of who he is. Thank you.